get things underway, though, by welcoming into the program the man who kicks off every 5 o'clock hour with us, writer Colin Fleming. Hello, Colin.
Hey, you're a vernal pool unto yourself, my friend.
I'm all that. Yes, indeed. Did you bring that monument to its knees today?
Oh, I brought it to its knees, and then I left it there for a while in terms of the space of 5 mighty climbs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I stepped it up a little bit today. I felt like a difficult anniversary day for me. Personally, I would dispense with my standard hat trick and get back up to 5.
Zulu warrior status achieved.
Yes, officially. That is the lowest rank. 5 climbs does get you Zulu warrior status. So, right.
Well, you challenged yourself, and that's sort of the topic of our conversation this week, is that's not the kind of thing a lot of people do these days. People are, you believe, and I don't disagree, too easy on themselves.
Question of standards and being especially lax about standards. And it's good, I think, that we talk about the physical stuff, because if anyone has ever played sports, as you know, you're out there, you're training by yourself, and you think like, huh, wow, I am really pushing it hard. I am getting into tip-top shape. And then you show up with the rest of the team, and you're working out that way, and you're at practice, and you're like, I was not pushing myself very hard at all. This is what it means to be pushed. And I think we societally do an overarching version of that, where we cut that corner, we shave the rectangle down into a circle, and we go round and round, and we make lots of allowances, and we just take it easy on ourselves. We do it intellectually. We do it emotionally. We do it in terms of how willing we are to be vulnerable with other people. We curtail our efforts, and we really just end up existing more than living. But I think it covers all of those different areas.
I agree with you on that. I was talking to my sociology class the other day about the whole nature versus nurture discussion. And yeah, there are certain people who are born with some skills. There's no question about that. But even with that, you can make an impact on all of those areas if you're willing to do the hard work.
I think people are born with skills in the sense that, like, Sidney Crosby was born with sufficient hockey ability if he marshaled that ability to become one of the top 10 or 12 players of all time. But and just in terms of day in, day out, getting by, interaction, the standards we hold ourselves to, I've come to believe that we're all, for the most part, different if you're Beethoven or Shakespeare, but born more or less with the same amount of brain. And I think it comes down to how far you wish to push yourself, if you want to learn more, if you want to continue to evolve. And what's happening right now, though, is so few people are making that push that it's easy to sit back on the haunches and be like, you know what, I'm good here. And you don't feel like you're getting passed by. And conversely, if you are someone who grows and who learns and that's what you're about, it can be very alienating. And you're out there on your own, and people now have created pejoratives to describe that certain person. That person is not passionate. They're someone who's seen as not chill. Like, that's what you want to be, just this slack-ass loser sitting on a couch, so you can say, oh yeah, look, I'm just chillaxing here. But it really doesn't add up to very much, save that there's a high degree of commonality, but it's very lackluster commonality. And if you're not wired that way and you want more, it can be a difficult road.
And why is it that people choose the path of least resistance? Is it not being willing to make the effort, or is it the fear of failure?
I think the latter has a lot to do with it. But you know that old cliche about how criminals, crooks, whatever, if they invested that effort into more legal, productive matters, that they'd make a success of things? It's like, I don't know how much you're actually tasked in terms of the energy it parts you with by trying to evolve. So I don't think it's that, although we are so amazingly, astoundingly lazy right now. People will do anything they can to get out of any bit of work. But I think ultimately that adds up for more work for them, because they get behind in other ways and there's more ground to make up. So I think it's that fear that people have of being different of being seen as an individual. I used to go to this bar when I was really struggling in my life, and well, when that phase began, and I would go in, and the bartender would say to me, we're the same age and everything, smart guy, he'd say, we are a pack animal. And I think, like, not really. Like, you're not a caribou. You have free will. You really, it's up to you. It's we're not a pack. It's like when people say that humans have instincts, it always irks me because we don't have instincts. Technically, if you want, and you're a mother, you could throw away your baby. Not something you should be doing, but somebody like the possum, well, she doesn't have a choice about that, Ma Possum. That's not what she's going to do. But you have free will for good and for bad. And I think when people maximize that, they're worried that they're not going to have a group that they belong to. And they're going to be out there on their own. And they don't have the emotional wherewithal and the intellectual wherewithal to fend for themselves then. And what they're missing out on at the same time is other people who are also making that push with whom they could have really meaningful, deep connections. And that is what makes that kind of difficulty, that burden that you have, pay out and reward you.
I was thinking of the great line from Network, and I had to look it up so I would get it right, where Howard Beale says, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radials, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. How much has technology, entertainment, how much has that contributed to this unwillingness to jump into life?
It's a scrim that you can hide behind. You can finagle a life, for lack of a better term, virtually, that you don't have to. I mean, there are people, you see it now with like sports video games. Like, there are leagues for that. So like, if you couldn't be a starting center in the NBA, you can be a virtual one. And I think that idea extends to all kinds of things. Like, it's weird for me. I think something like a friend is a pretty rare thing to have, like an actual true friend. People are very casual with the term. You have all these people on, I'm not even on Facebook, and I'm the scourge of my industry, and I have 2,500 Facebook friends. It tells you how, like, amazingly meaningless it is. And when we were talking the other day over text, you had mentioned that we're friends, and we haven't met. And I thought, like, huh, that's interesting that he would point that out, because that's in terms of geographical proximity. We've not sat down at a table looking eyeball to eyeball at each other. But really, what's any relationship? It's how candid you are with somebody, how open you are with them. It's always verbally based, the friendship. You might enjoy doing things together, and that's great. But ultimately, what your friendship comes down to is your connectivity via your rapport and your shared moral platform. So I think a lot of people are hesitant to make that leap for fear.
Well, and let me ask you, we're talking to Colin Fleming here on Downtown. For people who want to push themselves and challenge themselves and improve and reach their ultimate potential, that does put some people off. And does that mean sacrificing sometimes some personal relationships because there are people who just aren't comfortable being along for that ride?
Sure. Sacrifice away. Emphasis on the word, the prefix there, sack. I had a hockey coach, and we would be losing, and he would always say, well, this probably isn't going to work out great today, but you need to give it everything you have. You need to have balls as big as grapefruits. And I thought, yeah, you do. And this is not going to work out in this game. But that is a notion to carry through into the rest of your life. You can free yourself up to move, to acquire better things in terms of relationships by jettisoning people that you're carrying around who they're not your real friends. They're not adding anything to your life. When you are refreshing a page on Facebook to see if anything has changed, you are shaving off with each click of the refresh button a level of your soul. So you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't care. You shouldn't be like, oh no, somebody's befriending me here. Good. They weren't your friend anyway. It's just this pretend thing that people do. It's not a real thing. Go for a run. Have a candid conversation with somebody where you say, hey, look, I feel like we could be friends. You know, we hit it off well now. We have a nice rapport. It's like, you want to hang out sometime. And that nowadays, when you do that, people are like, oh, my goodness. It's like, how could you venture into that area? It's like almost a transgression. But when you behave that way towards somebody or they behave that way towards you, you like it. And it's cool. And I stepped outside right now. I was actually at the Starbucks, and I've written about this person in my blog. There's a precocious 14-year-old neighbor of mine, and her parents were like, she wants to be a writer. And I ended up talking to her, and when I go to work at Starbucks, this precocious child sometimes pops around the corner and sits down, and we talk about what's going on with her life, and she shows me her writing, and she says, oh, I know you're going through this. I read this on the blog. And it's kind of this unlikely relationship. It's not really a full-on friendship because of the age gap, but it's like a nice part of my day that's kind of touching. And it's something that I'm glad I have in my life. And it's just being open to something like that. And it gives you things that you don't expect to come to you that can help you out with other things when they finally do arrive at your doorstep.
And you have, against, as we've talked about several times, against all odds, you have been especially prolific and getting published quite a bit in recent days. 20,000 words in 4 days, a piece in the Washington Post, a wonderful feature in Jazz Times on Nat Cole and his jazz days, and then an essay in the Daily Beast as well.
Yeah, the Daily Beast one was, it's funny, when these things are recounted, they're usually like 7,000 more words in the rearview mirror and 8 monument climbs and all of that. And I know I'd mentioned the phrase before on the show that you should live your life like a thrown knife. It just goes in one direction. It goes forward with focus, point first. And the Daily Beast piece was on Dunleavy, and it sounds so weird. It's like, oh, it's Nat King Cole, and it's J.P. Dunleavy, the Irish writer, and this book from 1973, and the op-ed in the New York Daily News was about St. Patrick's Day and how you should appropriate other cultures. You shouldn't just be confined to, oh, I'm Polish, so I can only be into this. Nobody better dare come into my lair and learn anything from my culture and work that into their personage. And the thing is, with these pieces, they're all the same to me. For as different as they are, they're different in terms of what they say, and they're different structurally, and they're different stylistically. But the key, and it's the same thing with a relationship, you're just telling a story in which the proper nouns change, where you are fostering relationships between writer and reader, audience and person talking on the radio, whatever it may be. But that's really why I can move from area to area to area, because I tell stories. They're just really stories. And the stories, more than anything, that make the substrate for our relationship. So they just change up. And then people think, like, oh, how could hockey guy be architecture guy? But you know what? Really? A lot of it has quite a bit of overlap.
By the way, I loved Linesman, the short story you sent me. I loved the whole tone, the texture, the style of it. It was terrific.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I came up with that on Saturday, I think it was. I was at the Starbucks, and this idea of a person, family relationships can be difficult. And I thought maybe somebody has a parent who's been very difficult in their lives, and they're thinking about this idea of eventually, when the parent is going to die and you're having that moment at the hospital, that they are going to lean in those final moments and say something, kind of parting shot, as it were, for that person to take with them into the next world they're going to. And I think oftentimes people have dark thoughts like that. And I thought you could write a story about this where it works out such that you're in that moment in the hospital, but you're going through these other things in the past, some good and some bad, and it's going to play out in a certain way at the end that's going to resolve not the way a reader thinks at first. That's the only story I've ever seen, too, that ends with the same word repeated 4 ways, and each time the word is used, it's a completely different word.
Yes.
A different word stylistically, credentially, it's a completely different offering. And that's when you're really in that kind of architecture of language that pays out in terms of emotional resonance. And I thought about it Saturday night. I stayed up late. I watched a documentary on Empire Strikes Back, watched some old Wayne Gretzky games, thought about the story. And then Sunday I thought, you know what? Get the week off to a productive start. Just give me another story. Which is what I always say in my head. Give me another story. Let's see what you have. Come on, big boy. Give me another story. And then I do.
Check out Colin Fleming's work, WashingtonPost.com, The Daily Beast, Jazz Times, or better yet, go to ColinFlemingLit.com, subscribe to the blog, and get it all. Colin, we thank you as always. Hope you get through this day, and we'll talk with you again next week. Days will be better ahead.
Okay, thanks a lot, my friend.
Thank you.